Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, mighty man of God. That which the enemy has come in and has wanted to steal, to kill, and destroy, I am restoring that unto you. Not just your health, but your wealth, says God. God says your barns will overflow, not with just health, but with wealth. He said, I have shod your feet with the gospel, and you shall go forth and walk where I said, and I have destined you to walk. You will live long upon the earth to proclaim my word unto a multitude of people. They shall hear, they shall be blessed, and they shall be delivered and brought into the kingdom. For my anointing is upon you, and this is the season of restoration unto you, says the Lord. And even today, I am doing a new thing in you, in your life, in your body. And that which I have spoken to you shall come to pass. It shall be as I have decreed, and I have already declared it to be. For it's a settled word in my kingdom, says the Lord. A fresh anointing comes upon you now. A fresh anointing comes upon you now, for it shall start with the head and flow to the body, says the Lord. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters, and even a fresh word shall come forth from your mouth, and it shall break the yoke off of a multitude of people. A new song I am put into your heart, and a new dance into your step, says the Spirit of God. And you shall stand and declare, I say again, my word as I have given it to you. And I'll call forth for the prophetic anointing that's upon you to begin to prophesy, not only to the people that I have set under you under this house, but prophetically declare even to the nations, says God. And I will open the door, and you shall walk through. And I'll call forth those giftings that are within you, that they no longer can remain dormant, but they shall come forth for this season and this time, says the Spirit of grace. In Jesus' name, so be it. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands right now. And I decree and I declare unto you that the gifts that are within you, it's not something you have to seek for, beg for. But I decree and declare the gifts that are within you. The enemy has come and tried to rob you of those gifts. They shall no longer remain dormant. But the gifts that the Bible talks about in Corinthians are within you because you're born again by the Spirit of the Lord, and they shall come forth. And I decree and declare that the enemy that has come and has tried to silence you and tried to hold you back and hold you down, the Spirit of the Lord calls those giftings from you now in the name of Jesus. The gift, and the gifts that are within you. Not only the gifts of the Spirit to prophesy, the words of wisdom and knowledge, but the gift that God has given you, the calling that God has placed you, the gift that God has for you for this body of Christ, for the body. I call that forth in the name of Jesus. Whether it's to teach a Sunday school class, to be an usher, or whatever the gift that's within you, I decree and I declare that this is the season that it's to come forth, that it can no longer remain dormant. But the dam has let loose today by the Holy Spirit, and the river of God is flowing in this place. And he says to jump in. As an act of faith, stand up on your feet this morning. Lift your hands. Lay your hands on your belly. The gifts that are within me, the gift that is within me, shall no longer lie dormant. But I call it forth for this season, this time, this place, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we release that right now to your people. We release a fresh wind of your Spirit, God. We release a fresh wind of your Spirit that we will begin to prophesy. We will begin to decree and declare, Lord, what your word has decreed and declared in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, Pastor Laverne. You might as well get on this, too. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Laverne, for our sister, Pastor God. We thank you for her faithfulness to the body of Christ, God, her faithfulness to you, and to say yes whenever you have commanded her, God, to do something. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you have put in her, Lord, to minister your word. Oh, Father, we call those gifts forth in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, the fresh wind of God is born fresh upon her life. A fresh anointing coming upon her in the name of Jesus. Baptizing her again in the Holy Ghost, that out of her belly shall flow rivers of living waters for the fresh fire of God to settle upon her. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. We call those giftings now in Jesus' name for the anointing that's upon her, God. Oh, the anointing to speak into lives, God. The lives of women, to set them free. To set them free, God. Oh, thank you right now in Jesus' name. Your anointing. Oh, thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Thank you, Father God. We thank you for the anointing to heal every person, Lord, that by your stripes, for every person that's up on the list today, God, that needs a touch from you. Lord, we curse every sickness in the name of Jesus, and by your stripes they are healed. In Jesus' name, every person that needs wisdom, we thank you for the God of wisdom that lives in them, Father God. Oh, Father, we just speak peace to every situation. Every situation, we speak peace, God, to them in Jesus' name. And for salvation to come to their house, Father God, to know you. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Matthew, take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Amen. Amen. A no on earth is a no in heaven.
That's right.
What you say to one another is eternal.
Right.
I mean this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. You know, when we begin to praise God and we begin to pray, Jesus' ear, God's ear says, oh, that's them. And you know what happens? You've come into agreement with the Word. The Word comes into agreement with you. And God begins to go in action. Oh, hallelujah. Can you see that in your spirit this morning?
Mm-hmm.
God begins to go into action. He begins to strategically place people, rearrange circumstances, hallelujah. Move all hell
Amen.
To get to you because you have decreed and declared God has gone into action on your behalf, hallelujah.
Amen.
And he begins to rearrange things. That's why you begin to pray and it seems like all hell breaks loose. What's happening? God has gone into action. Angels have been dispatched for your
Amen.
Situation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And things begin to rearrange and begin to put into place so that which you have prayed for and come into agreement with God, hallelujah, can happen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I need to be quiet. Come here, Professor.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Come up here, Pastor. I need I need the pulpit moved, and I need that stuff off of the little podium, and I need the little podium next to the platform. Cardo. Yeah. Hey, considering the shape I'm in right now, you're blessed I called it a podium.
Could have been that white thing.
Yeah, the little white stand. Now, I want to say this. On my way up there. I'm not on my way, am I? Where's my buddies 9 and under? Any of them here today?
Yeah, we need all you all up here. Pastor's helpers, right? That's who you are, pastor's helpers. Come on up here. He's got something special today.
Here. Now, what I want you to do when I tell you is to give each one of them one of them.
All right. You got it all together, huh?
I got it all together.
All right. They're better helpers than I am.
Now,
all right.
I want you to, I want this right here so I can sit right there.
Okay, y'all sit down and get Pastor.
Right there. Maybe. Let's see. We need one more.
You need one more kid?
Yeah. Now we're doing okay. All right, now.
Look what he's got. Uh-oh, he's got his Tory out again, guys.
You remember this? I may remember that. Any of you remember? Okay. I had that once before. And I used it to illustrate something. Now, we're gonna give you a picture of the scripture that Sister Shirley quoted right before she sat down. Because I was going to quote it when I got up here. You know, about where two are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. If two of you shall agree on anything, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. The agreement. Now, what I want to do, now, Miss Laverne, I want you to give each one of them one of those things you got there.
Here's your paper clip. And here's you one. And here's you one. And you. And.
All right, now, what we're going to do here, and I'm going to, now, pay, now, I want you to watch and think about what's happening here, okay? Because you'll have to put it all together at the end, and you'll understand what I'm doing. Now, I'm going to lay this right here. Now, starting on this end, I want you to come up here, and I'll turn you back to them, stand here on the side. So we'll start with you, Grant. And I want you to take that paper clip, and I want you to use that paper clip and pick up that magnet. You can get 3 tries. That's 1. Okay, that's 2. And that's 3. Now, it's the only time, that's the only time in all the times that I have done this that a magnet picked that up. I mean, that a paper clip picked that up. So this boy must have some special in him. Now you can sit down there. Well, what in the world is going on here?
We got some power.
Okay, so he tried it three times, and it worked once. Now try it again. Whoa, we're getting better. This is absolutely amazing.
He's got to change his story now. Let's see what he does.
Okay. Now, your try. Okay. That's two. One more. That's the way it always worked for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have this up here. Okay, now. So, where do you go from here, Pastor? Well, now this is a great big magnet. It's twice as big. I mean, a paperclip. It's twice as big as yours or more, isn't it, right? Now, before, maybe that's because there's a strong anointing here this morning. All the times I've done this before, this has never worked. Now, let's see what happens. I'm amazed. You know, as all of this happened this morning, and I'm thinking, you know, what does it say to us? With God, all things are possible. Let me see if that'll work again. Change is coming. Now, before, what's happened is this. One would not pick it up by itself. It was just wouldn't do it. But now, let's try this. See the edge of that? I mean, I'm going to do it this way. Must have been. See? It will. Until it gets up there where it's... Mm-hmm. But I got more on it. But, watch it. I mean, with this, just using the tip of it, it just won't do it. Then it did. Okay, now let me show you something else. Let's try it one more time and make sure I'm not having some kind of... Didn't hold. All right, now. I want all of you to bring your paperclip over here right close to it and lay it down. Now. I've got another paperclip here. And I got another one. Now they're all stuck to the magnet, right? Now I'm going to try this and see if it works. Okay, so watch what I'm going to do. But you saw how much trouble that had picking up that magnet when it was touched to the magnet. I'm not going to touch the magnet this time. I'm going to just touch another paper clip. Ooh, did you see it move? I don't know if you can see it or not, but all of those paper clips and that magnet I'm picking up with this paperclip that I have in my hands, but the paperclip is not stuck to the magnet. It's stuck to another paperclip.
That's stuck to the magnet.
Hey, see, originally, the way this always worked was the one by themselves couldn't lift it. But all of them together made it possible. That's why the scripture says, bear one another's burdens. Because sometimes one person can't pick them up. Bear one another's burdens. And see, just holding on, just for the paperclip. Now, let me show you something else here. You see this paperclip? See anything wrong with it? What? It's bent. You can't see it back there, but it's all bent out of shape, right? It's a paperclip bent out of shape. Now, let's take this little bitty paperclip that's bent out of shape, and let's see what we can do with it. See, that little bitty paperclip all bent out of shape because of the other paperclips. He's able to lift that load. Now, what am I saying? Have you ever felt little and been out of shape? We don't have to be perfect. We just have to be available and willing. And be a paperclip. You see? If these paperclips were made out of wood, this wouldn't work. That'd be made out of a particular substance that makes it work. It's the same way with us. The thing that makes us work in the kingdom of God is that we all are made out of the same thing when we become Christians. We're made... We're made out of Jesus. Amen. It's the Jesus in us that causes us to stick together and be able to lift a load that none of us by ourselves could lift. So it's important to be part of somebody else. It's important to be part of the church. Let's see if that'll work again. Well, you know. And I could put 3, 4, 5, 6 more paper clips on there, and it'd still pick it up. Because of the characteristic of it. With God, all things are possible. So I tell you what, that's why I make it my job. Well, it's not a job. I make it a point to keep you guys lifted up. So I smile at you when I see you. Well, if they want to keep it as a souvenir, and you can tell somebody sometime, you can get a magnet and you can tell them the whole story. Well, look at that. You got hooked together with me. Oh, we're really tight. There you go. And we'll put this back in my pocket until some other time when I think I thought of something else. You did, didn't you? Well, you know what? If I could, I would loan you a tooth. But Before I could loan you a tooth that you could use, you'll probably grow two more. But thank you for sharing that. You know what that means?
What?
It means you're growing up. Amen. That's what it means. Thank y'all. That's what you do when things don't go right. God can surprise you at any moment over anything. Okay, thanks, guys. Now I need the pulpit back, and I need what? Okay. All right. That little white thing, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Now, God said, I can do anything at any moment for any reason that I want to. And the way things have gone this morning, I'm not even going to preach what I was going to preach. Now, you find the scripture. Okay, 1 John, chapter 1, Oh, let me tell you this. While you're getting there, you better get as much of this voice as you can today and next week, because after next week, it's leaving. And my original voice is coming back home. My physical therapist told me, or my vocal therapist, speech therapist, I'm still just a little bit left over from that. That the therapy has done all it can do, and then she showed me some pictures of what it was in September and what it is now, and there's a world of difference. But that last little bit, she said, I don't think we can do anything more for you with the therapy. You're going to add, if you want to, she said, it's up to you. But one more of the procedures should get your voice almost normal. So that's what we're doing. It's better than this down here, even now. Now up here, when I'm here, you can hear me, and I don't sound. Don't I sound like I'm pushing it in here? I am. Now, considering everything this morning, listen to this. with regard to what people have said this morning. That which was from the beginning. And this is the first epistle of John. You remember his gospel? In the beginning was the Word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. What do you hear? Words. Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Now, what's John saying? He's simply saying this. Now, I'm only telling you what I saw. I'm only telling you what I saw and what I heard. I am bearing witness. Now, somewhere along the line, there have been people that knew not John that have arisen. You know, just like down in Egypt, Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph. And he started mistreating the children of Israel. Over the past 2,000 years, there have been those who have arisen that did not know John or Peter or James or Paul or any of the others. They did not get a chance to talk to them. They did not get a chance to see them. And even now, this many years later, in the seminaries, I almost said cemeteries. In the seminaries that are supposed to be training men and women to lead the church, they are being taught basically certain things in certain areas and certain doctrines with particular relationship to Jesus Christ and His resurrection and His miracles and anything supernatural that's reported. different stuff based upon their perception of how things can be or would be. If you don't believe in the miraculous, you're going to write all of that out. You're going to change it to some other way. Was there really a Jesus? Well, this man right here said, I personally knew him. Now, do you suppose that 12 men didn't have anything better to do than to get together and come up with some fabricated, unbelievable story? I don't think so. You know what? They believed it enough that they died for it. And you've got to understand, they saw the beginning. Now, who better to describe something than an eyewitness? I mean, you know, there's something going on. Well, let's go back to, let's just use, stay in keeping with what we're doing this morning. Let's just go back to Scott's example. A big blue blimp. A big blue blimp with polka dots. And a streamer behind it, a mile long, crossed the road in front of him. He comes in and he tells us that, just like he said. And then Sister Shirley comes in a few minutes later. And she said, I had a strange thing happen to me on the way to church this morning. This great big blue blimp with polka dots and a streamer on the back of it a mile long went right across the street and rode in front of me. What's the first thing we think about? That's exactly the same thing Scott said. Now, Scott came in. He came from Camelsville. Sister Shirley came from Columbia. But they both told us the same thing. And then just a few minutes later, here comes Cole and Sherry. Strangest thing happened to us on the way to church this morning. Big blue blimp with polka dots and a streamer tied onto it a mile long crossed the road right in front of us. Now, we're beginning to think, whoa, what are we beginning to think? We're beginning to think that it must be true that there's a big blue blimp with polka dots and a mile-long streamer out there somewhere running around. As ridiculous as it might sound. Now, we go to town. And we go to a restaurant. And you see somebody in there that you know. And we ask them this question. Have you seen a big blue blimp with polka dots and a mile-long streamer running around across the roads? Do what? What did you say? Uh, and you repeat it. Are you crazy? That's the most ridiculous story I ever heard. Are you crazy? People don't rise from the dead. Why? Because I've never seen one rise from the dead. And with all of the study and all of the conclusions that you come to in this area, what you have to conclude is this. We either believe the eyewitnesses or we believe somebody 2,000 years removed. That's been taught that that's not possible. Why is it that written information passed down from eyewitnesses for 2,000 years is not reliable, but scientific study is? If it contradicts it, it's valid. You know, well, for one thing, science can't prove much about God. That would be like ants getting together and trying to discuss us. And I'm going to finish what I've said this morning with this example. I put this on Facebook here a few weeks ago. Over in Egypt, they have some strange structures. Anybody know what they are? What? Pyramids. Big things that you don't have any around you. Over there in the desert, sitting out there, built out of stones that are massive, very large, very heavy, not easily moved. Now, people, archaeologists, geologists, all the otherologists have been trying for decades and centuries to explain how they got there, how they were built, and what they were for. Study, 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 study. With all the study that they have done, they still never have figured out how the Egyptians were able to build them. Over in the Pacific Ocean, there's a little island somewhere, I think about 600 miles removed, seems like, from its closest neighbor. It's called Easter Island. Got massive stone structures standing there like big heads. Giant-sized things. man still doesn't know how they got there, who built them, or why. And they put a lot of effort into finding out. And they come up with these ideas and speculations. You realize that anything you find that nobody can account for, no matter what you come up with, it's a speculation. The Grand Canyon. Scientists have been saying it's 60 to 70 million years old. 60 to 70 million years old. That is a lot of time. Oh, but recently they figured out, we were wrong. We have updated information on the age of the Grand Canyon. Instead of 60 to 70 million years old, it's only 5 million years old. That's 65 million years difference. What information could turn up that would make that much of a difference? Unless the first one was totally, absolutely wrong. Now the next thing you hear, no you won't. You won't hear it. Unless it comes from a particular source. Because if they test it again and say, the Grand Canyon's not 5 million years old. The Grand Canyon's 5,000 years old. They won't tell you that, though, if they found it. Because then they would have to admit that this book might be true. But now, considering all that, considering all of the mystery and the speculation about the pyramids, the mystery and the speculation about Easter Island, wouldn't you conclude that the best way to find out how the Egyptians built the pyramids would be to ask an eyewitness? Somebody that was there. But you know, science sometimes is so arrogant, if all of a sudden there was somebody that had been an eyewitness, or to show up through time travel or something and say, this is how they were done. They'd think he was a nutcase and they'd keep on trying to figure it out. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness. Now, am I supposed to take the word of a seminary professor that's never been anywhere except in a book? And in a lot of their cases, it wasn't this one. Or the word of an eyewitness that was there. Think about it. Think about it. Who are you going to believe? Somebody that's speculating or an eyewitness? Particularly if there are more than one eyewitness, like 12 or 13 or 70 or 5,000 or 500 that saw him after the resurrection. They got together and made a big plot. You know how hard it would be to keep 500 people in agreement over something that never really happened? You put 500 people on, if they were making a story up, a good lawyer could just twist them all over the place. But if they're all telling the truth, you can't dispute it. There's enough witnesses in this book that it's hard to dispute it if you got the faith to believe it. Every time you read about something that happened sometime, if you weren't there, you are taking the word of somebody else. History. A lot of stuff left out. Some stuff put in there that probably shouldn't have been. But that's the risk you run. How much can you trust your source? I think I can trust my source pretty well. These men preached a perfect Jesus, and their lives testified to it. You know, a liar, a perpetual liar, is not usually a real outstanding citizen. If Jesus was a liar, he wouldn't have had the effect upon people that he did. Thank God for the truth of the gospel, the eyewitnesses that have passed it on down to us. And for the Savior who shed his blood for our salvation. Have someone come move the big podium and the little podium.
While we're getting ready for communion, I would just like to say, and I meant to say it earlier, but a lot of other stuff. But everybody, it remembers Mo Bradshaw, that he comes. Well, his dad died. His daddy died Friday morning. And they're having the funeral Tuesday. And I want you to be in prayer for Mo and his family. You know, when your parents die, then that's a big thing in your life. And So I don't have his address, but if we could get his address posted, if you want to send him a sympathy card. And then there's a good possibility that after the funeral, they're going to be having dinner down here. So I think they'll probably have enough food, but if not, I may be calling on some people to reach out to Mo and his family. And it's Ricardo's uncle. And Mo told him, this is my church. So, yeah, right. And it's a time of reaching out, isn't it? Shining our lights and loving.